Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Packaging, the podcast where we unwrap the complex world of what holds our products. I'm your host, Alec, and I am thrilled about our guest today. Joining us is Aaliyah, a leading consultant who helps businesses navigate the tricky and often confusing landscape of sustainability and environmental regulations. Aaliyah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alec. It's great to be here. I love talking about this stuff, even if it makes my friends' eyes glaze over at dinner parties.
I can imagine. Well, you're in a safe space here. Today, we're diving into a topic that sounds, frankly, a little intimidating. It's an acronym, EPR. When I first heard it, I thought it was some kind of medical procedure.
You're not alone. It absolutely sounds like something your doctor would order. But no, EPR stands for Extended Producer Responsibility.
Extended Producer Responsibility. Okay, break that down for us. What does it actually mean for a business, especially a food business?
At its core, it's a pretty simple idea. If you produce and sell products in packaging, you now have a responsibility to help pay for the recycling of that packaging after your customer is done with it.
Okay, so the producer pays.
Exactly. Think of it like a mandatory membership fee for the entire recycling system. You can't opt out. Someone has to fund the collection, the sorting facilities, all of it. EPR laws basically say that someone is the company that put the package on the shelf in the first place.
That makes sense. It shifts the cost from municipalities and taxpayers to the businesses creating the material. But I imagine the fee part is what makes business owners nervous. How much are we talking about here?
This is where it gets really interesting and where strategy comes in. These systems use something called eco-modulation fees.
Eco what now? That sounds even more complicated than EPR.
It's just a fancy way of saying they charge you more if your packaging is difficult to recycle, and less if it's easy. It's a sliding scale.
Okay, so it's designed to incentivize better choices. Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. Let's use a hypothetical to make it real. Imagine that clear plastic clamshell container you get for a Caesar salad. If it's made from PET thermoformed plastic, the fee might be something like 70 cents per pound.
70 cents per pound. Okay.
Now, consider an alternative container. Same shape, same function, but it's made from paper-based molded fiber. Its fee could be around 3 cents per pound.
Wait, stop. 3 cents versus 70 cents for the same size package doing the same job? That is a staggering difference.
It is. You may pay a higher fee now with the promise that the money will eventually be used to build better plastic recycling systems.
The key word there seems to be eventually.
That's the strategic challenge right there. These eco-modulation fees aren't just a tax. They're essentially a pricing menu. The regulations are telling you clear as day which materials will cost you more and which will cost you less. The smart companies are looking at this menu and redesigning their packaging now before the fees are implemented everywhere.
So it's about being proactive. What are some of the rules of thumb? What makes a package cheaper on this menu?
The biggest rule is that single materials beat mixed materials almost every time. A package made from one pure type of plastic will have a lower fee than a package that's mostly plastic but has other things mixed in.
Even if that mixed material package is lighter or has a smaller carbon footprint to produce?
Yes, and this is the really weird part for a lot of people to wrap their heads around. EPR in its current form optimizes for one thing, recyclability, not necessarily overall environmental impact. That lighter package might be better for the planet in terms of shipping emissions, but if it's harder to sort and recycle at the end of its life, it could cost you more in EPR fees.
That feels counterintuitive. You could be trying to do the right thing environmentally and still get a bigger bill.
It can be, but there are other ways to lower fees. Using more recycled content in your packaging, for instance, can often reduce your obligation. And of course, simply reducing the weight of your package helps. Less weight means a lower fee. It might not seem like much per container, but over a million units, it becomes real money.
Okay, so let's play devil's advocate. Several states already have these laws. What happens if a company just ignores it? They just don't pay the fees.
I would strongly advise against that. The states with enforcement are not messing around. In Oregon, for example, the fines can be up to $25,000 per day.
Per day. Wow. Okay, that's a pretty big stick.
It is. But honestly, for most businesses, the bigger threat isn't even the fines. It's the retailers.
How so?
Big retailers do not want the headache of working with suppliers who aren't compliant. If you haven't registered with the state's Producer Responsibility Organization, or PRO, or you can't prove your packaging meets the standards, they might just refuse to carry your products. Getting delisted from shelves is a much bigger financial hit than the fine for most companies.
That's the real danger then, access to market. So for a business owner listening right now, maybe in a state where EPR isn't even a law yet, what is the very first thing they should do to prepare?
The absolute first step is a packaging audit right now. Pretend the fees already apply to you. Go through every single product you sell, every piece of packaging from the container to the label to the adhesive. Companies that proactively switch to more recyclable, lower-fee packaging might see their costs go down or at least stay neutral. They save money on the fees, which can offset any new material costs. In contrast, companies that stick with hard-to-recycle packaging will almost certainly have to raise prices to cover their higher fees. So it creates a market where consumers, by choosing products from forward-thinking brands, can indirectly support better packaging.
And what are you looking for in that audit?
You need to answer a few key questions for each item. What material is it made of? Is it a single material or is it mixed? What does it weigh? And could it be lighter while still protecting the product? You're going to need this data eventually, so you might as well gather it now before you're on a tight deadline.
Okay, audit everything, get your data in order. What's next?
Start looking at resources like the APR Design Guide. That's from the Association of Plastic Recyclers. It's an amazing document that gives guidance on what resins, inks, and adhesives are considered recyclable. It helps you understand the technical details. And then start carefully testing alternatives.
And I imagine carefully is the operative word there.
Extremely. That paper-based container with the low EPR fee looks fantastic on a spreadsheet, until you discover it doesn't prevent leaks or it shortens your product's shelf life. The package still has to do its primary job, protect the food. So you have to balance the fee savings with product integrity.
This sounds like a lot for a small or medium-sized business to handle. It's staff time, research, redesign costs, on top of the fees themselves.
It is, and that's a valid concern. But the key takeaway is that EPR is coming whether we like it or not. More and more states are joining. Understanding the rules before the fees show up on an invoice gives you time to make calm, strategic decisions instead of reacting in a panic.
So the message is, do not panic, but do not sleep on this either.
Precisely. The companies that start this process early will have a much smoother and cheaper transition than the ones who get caught scrambling when the first bill arrives. And in the food business, fewer surprises is always the goal.
That is fantastic advice. Alia, this has been incredibly insightful. You've taken a really complex, intimidating topic and made it so much clearer. Thank you for shedding light on EPR for us today.
It was my absolute pleasure, Alec. Thanks again for having me on the show.
And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Let's Talk Packaging. A big thank you to our guest, Alia, and to all of you for listening. Join us next time as we continue to unwrap the world of packaging.